misconceptions about who Moses was and what this story represents. But technically, you have a being named Moses with the hordes of Israelites lost in the desert, terrified to go up to the Holy Land and claim it because there were these giant beings with these giant forts everywhere. And the beings that came out of Egypt and the Israelites were, of course, a smaller stature. And through one crook, or let's say one trick, or by hook and by crook, the Israelites defeated, as the story goes, many of these tribes of giants, some of which were called Anakim. Does that name sound familiar?
Anakim.
Anakim. The Anakim giants. If you look into your Star Wars story, you will see some of the names there. And so these giants, the Anakim, the Gomers, and others, the Keltes, another word for them, they were driven. But the Gomers, Gomerian giants in particular, were driven out of the Middle East and into northern Africa. And they settled then in the Atlas Mountains. This is one tracking of these people. And they became now, their descendants today, are the Moroccan Berbers.
Wow.
That is the point of the story. Now you may, those of you who are going to go to Morocco, and you will go across the Atlas Mountains in part and into the desert, and it's going to be a trip extraordinaire. Real walk into the gateway of Atlantis. You will find tall, lean people, but the moon is in a different position, the agreement is different, the size has gone down. But also in the Atlas Mountains, which would have been very connected to Atlantis, and the Atlas being the alleged first high priest of Atlantis, or Poseidon's first son. He had 10 sons, 5 sets of twins. Little bit of genetic engineering there, or good luck with the sperm and egg, one or the other. And remember, today you think of genetic engineering of going to a laboratory, yes? And having this implanted and this spliced and this done. The giants were powerful in brain and in brawn. So what we are getting around to is that the giants could think what they wanted to be and have it occur. So they could do genetic engineering by mind. They did not travel across the parsecs of space with oodles and oodles of equipment. You're talking about beings who did everything by mind. And then when they begin to lose their great stature, lose their way, and after the floods and the problems and the falls, they then began to still do what they could do, which was to move stone. And so the remnants of the large temples, the stone complexes, whether you're talking Sacsayhuaman in Cusco, outside of Cusco, obviously a complex built for very giant beings. Tiahuanaco in Bolivia, the England, all over England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, you have the different stone complexes. Stonehenge, of course, being one of the most famous. Some of you have been to France, you've seen Karnak, some of you perhaps have had the fortune of being in the Middle East. Egypt certainly is a testimony to a giant way of living. It's a testimony to the giants, and was built in memory of the fading giants. But the Egyptian culture, if you track it back about 3,500 years ago or some such, about 2,500, let's say about 2,500 BC to 3,000 BC, so you're talking more like close to 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, certainly you still had beings at that time of a very, very large stature. We would say the giant giants, 35 to 50 footers, would have been in decline, and their demise began about 10 to 12,000 years ago, and they would have been, you would have seen the last of these beings about 2,000 years ago, or the end of the Aryan Age. and the beginning of the Piscean Age.